From the sports desk of the Lubbock Avalanche Journal and RedRaiders.com, here's your look at all things Texas Tech sports. Now, here's the Red Raider Podcast.
And hello, everyone. I'm Carlos Silva from the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, sports editor for the newspaper here in Lubbock, Texas, bringing you a NCAA tournament edition of the Red Raider Podcast. And for that, of course, we've got a team that they are playing, that being Utah State, the Aggies, out of the number 11 seed, pardon me, as they were announced earlier this week to play Texas Tech in the first round game, 12:45 Friday in the NCAA tournament in Bloomingdale, Indiana at Assembly Hall. And for that, I've got a very special guest, Alex Vahar, who covers the Utah State Aggies for the Salt Lake Tribune. How's it going, Alex?
It's going well, Carlos. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you, man. I do appreciate you. Like I said, we're doing this on Zoom on Thursday, so hopefully we can get this up as quick as we can, because the thing people forget is games happen all day long. So Texas Tech and Utah State got one of the earlier games. And at least from my perspective, talking to Craig Smith and Chris Beard, obviously covered him for forever, it seems like. But from your perspective, how can you kind of describe to fans of Texas Tech Craig Smith in a nutshell, so to speak?
He talks a lot and he's loud and he's passionate, and his players love him and his coaches love him. So, you know, he's somebody who is, he has small town roots. He's from a tiny town in Minnesota called Stephen. It's got like less than 700 people, I think, currently. So, you know, I think he's kind of like the prototypical small town guy who's, talent has risen him to big things in his career.
Funny you mentioned that, because you made fun of me for kind of, I was kind of clearing my eyes, I guess, because it was early in the morning for us sports reporters, as you well know. And you kind of said, well, Carlos is getting tired of me talking so much. And I wanted to reply and say, well, Chris Beard does the same. He's very long-winded too, but he knows what the message is. And I believe, talking and listening to Coach Smith today during our press conference, he knows the message too. And it seems like it's play good defense, play low turnover ball, and just try and make sure that you get some good possessions out of it, which is essentially what Texas Tech does and kind of what we'll get into when we do the matchups. But one little thing I wanted to at least kind of mention, of course, we're talking with Alex Vahar of the Salt Lake Tribune. Texas Tech taking on Utah State at 12:45 Friday. We're going to break down this matchup between the Red Raiders and the Aggies. But one thing I really did enjoy is that feature he did on Craig Smith as to how he found out that he was going to be a coach and how he was nurtured when he was younger, his mother and all those things. So you alluded to it a little bit before, to where he grew up in a small town, but if you could just kind of give us a small little spark notes, if you will, of his journey to Utah State.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, I wrote a profile on him that came out today, kind of looking at just his whole journey, coaching wise. And one of the things that I was fascinated to discover was sort of how he views himself as a basketball coach. And he sort of, there's this quote that he said where he coaches his players like he treats his children and vice versa. And I thought that was very interesting. And throughout all the interviews that I did for the story, what kept leaping out at me was how passionate he is about pretty much teaching and affecting people's lives. And he really kind of seems just like a nurturer himself in that way. And he grew up with parents that were very hardworking. You know, his mom had a daycare that she ran out of their childhood home in Stephen, Minnesota for 34 years. And it didn't make it into the story, but what I found out is that she's been retired for a few years. But she, you know, as I guess part of her motherly nature, you could say, she's been helping out at Craig Smith's high school kind of as one of the chefs this past year. And Craig Smith kind of made a little joke about that today during the press conference, but yeah, he really seems like a person who from a young age was sort of destined to become a molder of young people, whether that's, and I think it manifested itself in basketball coaching, but you know, if he hadn't become a basketball coach, he would have probably been like a teacher or something similar to that. That's my opinion anyway, but yeah, Craig Smith is, he really just kind of carries himself as somebody who cares about developing not just basketball players, but young men.
And in terms of that, he's obviously done a very good job with Utah State going into this matchup a little bit, 20-8. The last seven games, they've won six of them. That one loss was the first time to the San Diego State Aztecs this year in the Mountain West Conference. What was the key that allowed them to get those six straight wins, Alex? And then helped San Diego State get that last win to where they were getting the guaranteed bid, so to speak, to where it was an at-large for Utah State?
Yeah, so I would say, and I think you alluded to it earlier, it was really defense. They were struggling in the beginning of the year. You know, they got a lot of young players, a lot of players who, you know, hadn't played any minutes for the team last season. And I think there was an adjustment period there. But once they started to be connected on defense, get stops, force turnovers, things like that, Nemias Keita is a huge focal point in that. You know, he leads the team in blocks. I mean, the guy blocks like three shots a game or whatever it is. It's crazy. You know, and they also have a couple really good perimeter defenders. So once that sort of solidified early in the season, they actually went on an 11 game winning streak. And some teams, they were just blowing out, outscoring them and also defending really well. But in those six games, recently they were conference games, and I really think that it was defense that anchored that. And Nemias also had a run where he was getting 20, 30 plus points, double digit rebounds every game. I mean, it was really kind of his show on both ends of the court. And he was supplemented by, you know, Justin Bean, you know, getting a double double, or Brock Miller hitting a couple threes, or, you know, I forget which one of their freshman point guards had almost a triple double. I believe it was Raleigh Worcester, and I hope that's right. But he, you know, he had a nice couple games there. So their team is very egalitarian in terms of, like, there isn't just like the 25 point scorer, right? You know, they have three guys that average double figures. And it's interesting that Texas Tech has four guys that average double figures, but you know, their offense is very sort of, the whole is better than the sum of its parts. And, you know, I think defensively that happens too. Now against San Diego State, you know, beating them or not beating them the last couple of games, they played better defense and shot better. But in this game, turnovers is really what killed them. And I actually was on record saying that if they didn't win the conference tournament, they wouldn't make the tournament. And I was wrong. Yeah. A lot of people were wrong, but it was really turnovers that hurt them. And turnovers have been a problem for the Aggies in certain parts of the season. And it's going to be a focal point against Texas Tech for sure.
So now kind of going into the matchup a little bit, I asked a couple questions of Coach Smith, but I thought one thing that really kind of stood out was the fact that there's some tournament experience. And not only that, but with that tournament experience, there is a guy that maybe some Texas Tech fans may remember on that Virginia team the last time Texas Tech and Virginia played in the overtime game. His name is Marco Anthony. Really good guard that has done very well for Utah State. But then the other guys that have really gotten that NCAA tournament experience and return from the last time they went to the tournament were Brock Miller, Justin Bean, and Keita, as you had mentioned as well. From those guys, what have you seen from them? Obviously, you kind of mentioned how great Kate has been over the last several games because of him being a walking double-double, essentially, is what he's been averaging. But in terms of Brock Miller, Justin Bean, and Marco Anthony, in terms of their leadership, how much has that helped this team where 11 of the 15 guys do not have that experience of being in this tournament, kind of knowing all the pomp and circumstance and kind of all the other things that come along with this?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that's important to mention is while Marco Anthony did win a national championship in Virginia in 2019, he didn't really play that much for that team. He was behind three guys that are now in the NBA. But, you know, with the Aggies, with a bigger role, you know, he's really served as the best perimeter defender on that team. He's often tasked to guard the opposing team's best player. And he's also expected to, create some offense. He's really the only guy other than Cato who can kind of create their own shot. You know, I think the other guys are kind of too young to really have reached that point in their career. And Brock Miller is a catch and shoot guy. You know, he's not going to be creating his own shot very much. He really relies on everybody else. But, you know, Marco is the defensive anchor on the perimeter. Brock Miller is also an improved defender over the last couple of years, but he's really the shooter. You don't want to leave Brock Miller open. The problem with Brock Miller is he's a little streaky. So if he's not having a good night, you know, it's going to be kind of difficult, because what Utah State kind of lacks is kind of a scoring punch. It's difficult for them to score, which is partly why I think they rely so much on their defense. They've had a couple really good scoring games this past season, but it's really a defensive team, the Aggies. And then in terms of Justin Bean is probably the scrappiest, hardest worker on that team, boxing out, diving for loose balls. He's become an offensive rebound machine. You know, when the Last Dance documentary came out about the Chicago Bulls earlier last year, I wrote a story about the Utah State Aggies and how they were sort of all watching that documentary. And I talked to Justin Bean about it. And one of the things he told me that jumped out to him most was how Dennis Rodman approached rebounding. And he actually started to sort of think about rebounding a different way. And I think that's really materialized over this season. He rebounds really well. So, and he can also score the ball, pretty well too. So I think those guys have combined that is the core of their team. And Craig Smith has talked about it when you talk about experience. You know, obviously nobody was able to compete in the tournament last year, but this team has gone through a lot together. They're, you know, those four guys are older, and they really understand how to play with each other. And I think they're the guys that some of the younger, more experienced players will look to sort of kind of gauge how they are going to react in certain situations. You know, they're going to be the calming voice because this big stage is, it's not something that most of the team is used to, like you said.
So with all that in mind, we obviously know a little bit about Craig Smith. We found out a little bit about Nemias Cato and some of these other guys that have been fabulous parts to this team that have played real good defense. And I think that's one thing that Texas Tech fans would maybe be shocked to find out is that Utah State is actually ranked number 15 in the country in total defense. Right. Whereas Texas Tech, yeah, I mean, Texas Tech is good. They're holding teams to, I believe, about 62.3 points per game, whereas Utah State is at 62.3. And Texas Tech is at 63.4. But then again, they are scoring at about a 73-point-per-game average clip. So a 10-point difference shows that it's been close games that they've had. The other thing that kind of interests me, and Coach Smith mentioned it during his press conference today, is rebounding is going to be key. And I think one stat that really stood out to me, at least just kind of looking through things before I was kind of writing my story, was – Utah State has won the rebounding battle in every one of their games. So obviously something that is very important to Craig Smith is winning that. And he even called it the one and done. It's like you have one offensive possession, you make sure that they only have one offensive possession. And I think that could be the key, because Texas Tech is one of the better offensive rebounding teams in the Big 12 and slightly the country as well. So I guess from your perspective, how have you seen Utah State put an emphasis on rebounding and being able to shut down those opposing offenses from getting those second chance points? And how do you see that going against a team like Texas Tech, where that is an emphasis and they've got some guys that can be really quick and box out pretty well against them?
Yeah. You mentioned the similarities in rebounding and defense, and actually they Utah State and Texas Tech are almost neck and neck in scoring. You mentioned that Texas Tech is 73 points per game. Utah State is 73.3 points per game, and their margin of victory is 11. And I believe it's close to 10 for Texas Tech. So there's so many statistical categories where Utah State and Texas Tech are right there with each other, which makes this an interesting matchup. Excuse me. The rebounding thing is going to be huge. Like you said, and you're right, the Aggies have out-rebounded every team that they've played. And That's including losses, which always baffles me. They're winning the rebounding battle, winning or losing. So Namias Cade is a big part of that. Justin Bean is a huge part of that. They have a couple guards that rebound pretty well as well. So rebounding is core to their identity, as well as defense. And like Craig Smith said, one and done, right? And I think that is probably, it's going, in my mind, the two keys to this game are rebounding and turnovers. And in turnovers, therein lies defense as well. I think if Utah State can win the rebounding battle and can limit their turnovers, they have a really, really good chance of winning this game. They cannot get beat on the offensive glass. They just can't. They're going to have to box out. I don't know if Craig Smith, because of that, is going to tweak his lineup. You know, Kata is obviously a big guy in the middle, but their forwards run pretty small. I believe Marco Anthony's 6'4". I think Justin Bean is 6'7", 6'8". You know, I think size is going to really matter in this case. And I asked Craig Smith about size, and he's not really looking at that part of the matchup, but I am, and especially with rebounding. You know, I think they're going to have guys that have, like, I think Justin Bean's going to need a double-double, and I think Namias Cade is going to need a double-double, and they might need another guy to get 7-8 rebounds. Because like you said, Texas Tech is a good offensive rebounding team, and Utah State's just going to have to limit that.
In terms of going on that and then kind of switching a little bit to Texas Tech, I know you already alluded to some of the guys and their size. Has Utah State played a team like Texas Tech? Obviously, Craig Smith said maybe the athleticism is a little bit higher from player to player, but a team that doesn't necessarily have that prototypical big center post guy that's like 6'11", maybe 6'10", even 7 foot, kind of like Namias. But they've got so many athletic guards that can play multiple positions and switch off so much.
That's a good question. There's a couple of teams that have pretty big centers in the Mountain West. But as I've watched their games, you know, Namias Cade is usually the biggest guy on the floor. You know, San Diego State has a talented big guy. I can't remember if it's Boise or if it's Wyoming. It's one of those teams that has a center that's comparable in size to Namias Cade. Wyoming center, if I remember correctly, is a big guy, but he's also shorter, but he's like a shooter as well. So like, and Namias is a big guy, and he recovers well, but he is on the slower side in terms of speed. So, you know, I think that if Texas Tech is going to be a team that tries to, you know, put Namias in pick and roll or tries to switch him on to smaller guards, I think that's going to be a little bit of an issue for Cade. That's just my opinion, but I really don't know if, I really feel like in the Mountain West, usually Cade is the biggest guy. And that's probably part of the reason why they out rebound so many teams is they just have the size advantage. And coming off the bench, they have Trevin Dorius, who's also like 6'11", 7 feet. So, you know, and I think lately Trevin has not really been in the rotation very much. It's been it's been Alphonse Anderson who comes off the bench. Sometimes it's Sean Barrasso, who's 6'7", 6'8". You know, he's a guard, but, you know, he's got size. So, and Brock Miller 6'6" as well. So he's got a little bit of size too. So, you know, but I think it's really going to, in terms of the rebounding battle, I really think it's going to come down to Namias. I think he's going to have to lead the charge there, and the other guys are going to have to supplement him.
And I totally agree with you on that. And the whole reason I ask is because I always seem to find that there's always this conversation about anytime there's a 7-footer on the other team, everyone seems to focus on that. Whereas I almost feel like the conversation should be, when was the last time that team played someone that had maybe some smaller, more athletic guys? Because as you said, you can take advantage of that speed situation where if you're going up and down the court or you're going pick and roll, you're going to maybe get yourself into a better situation. And maybe that does change a lineup or maybe change the way that Craig Smith is doing things. But I certainly think Texas Tech has a chance to be successful against Cata just because of the way that they're able to get off the dribble, so to speak. Like a Mac McClung is, we'd spoke with Craig Smith. Terrence Shannon's very good at that. Kyler Edwards is very good at that. But the thing that has been hurting Texas Tech is their ability to make jump shots, to be quite frank. Mid-range jumpers, perimeter jumpers, I think that's something that's been tough. They do get good shots. It's just they haven't been able to make them. And then the other thing, too, is one thing that I noticed with Cata is the fact that he hasn't fouled out that much, or he hasn't gotten into foul trouble, at least in the last several games. So I think that's something Texas Tech is certainly going to look to, because that's kind of what was happening with Matt Harms when they did play Purdue a couple years ago in the NCAA tournament. He was another seven-footer that everyone was talking about. Well, he's going to do very well, and Texas Tech got him into foul trouble, and you can't really do much when you're on the bench. And certainly that's something that I'm going to look forward to in terms of the matchup, in terms of Texas Tech's guards, maybe, as you mentioned, going pick and roll with Cata and seeing how, if he goes and if he is going to accept that or embrace that challenge. But just to kind of wrap up things here with the Alex Vejar of the Salt Lake City Tribune, if you can kind of talk a little bit about the, I'm trying to think of the best way to say this, but in terms of what you've seen with Texas Tech, who are some guys that have impressed you, or just if it's just looking at the stats, if that's something there, or maybe if there's just someone coming in. I know Mac McClung is going to stand out, but sometimes people say, oh, well, Kevin McCullough is kind of this glue guy, or Terrence Shannon's this guy that can really kind of change things because of his defense. Is there someone or something that really kind of stood out to you about Texas Tech?
To be honest, I wasn't really familiar with Texas Tech's roster until today when I was writing my advanced story. But something that did jump out to me was, and I think we talked about it a little bit, just the similarity in stats. And just how scoring, defense, now that I think about it, and it ties to the turnover conversation. I believe Texas Tech averages close to 18 points off turnovers per game, which is a crazy number. And, you know, I hear Craig Smith talk about it, Texas Tech's speed and their athleticism and how disruptive they are on defense. And I think that, you know, for all of Utah State's defensive ability and for the way they run their offense, which is like, you know, not a lot of sets, it's a lot of motion, it's a lot of screens, it's a lot of pass and cut and fill the space and things of that nature. You know, they're a team that prides itself on, you know, the flow of their offense is very important. If the ball sticks, they're in trouble. If Nemeas is not able to pass out of double teams effectively, and they're not able to rotate the ball to get an open shot, they're going to be in trouble. And it sounds like Texas Tech is the type of team that has enough speed that they're going to be able to rotate to guys. And Utah State's going to need to get open shots. And again, the turnovers are going to be huge. And if Texas Tech gets anywhere near those 20 points or those 18 points off turnovers, Utah State's going to have a long night, because they're really not the same type of turnover producing team. They're more, you know, because of Cata, they're allowed to kind of do, they're allowed to focus themselves on the perimeter defensively a lot better. But they don't have that much kind of pure athleticism. So that is probably another thing I'm going to be watching, is just how the athleticism of each team is going to translate, into turnovers and open shots and things like that.
Now, on those notes, that kind of makes me interested, because one thing that Texas Tech has struggled with because of the way that they play defense, as Craig Smith kind of mentioned, they funnel teams to try and get it inside. They obviously try and get charge calls as best as they can, because they try to get guys out of control. I think one thing that could be interesting to see is if Brock Miller is able to get hot from three. That's something that, as everyone well knows, at least from that Baylor game, if you're able to get your inside out action or just a drive and kick, Texas Tech will give you those shots. It's just a matter of, can you get the guys either hot, or can you get guys that are going to be a green light shooter, so to speak, to where they will hit those, because then that will change the way that Texas Tech plays defense just a little bit, because certainly they're not going to be helping as much, because they know that they have a guy that they have to work on from the 3-point line. And I think that's going to be the one thing for me kind of looking at some of the statistics from Utah State is, can Texas Tech, one, keep Cade up out of the paint? Can they make sure he doesn't get paint touches? And if he does, can they adjust and can they use that speed, as you alluded to, and make sure that they do get those turnovers or maybe a deflection and turn that into offense, compared to where in previous games, like a Baylor, sometimes Texas, and some of these other great shooting teams in the Big 12, they've been able to rotate the ball, switch it to the other side, and be able to get some open three-pointers. And that should be something that Utah State fans can kind of look forward to. Other than that, the one question I asked was about Mac McClung and how Craig Smith and company could slow him down. But for you, how have you seen Utah State slow down guards from other teams? Because I find this dynamic very interesting, because when you get to the tournament, I feel like the guards are kind of like the focus. If you've got some guys that are seasoned, like a Kyler Edwards, Mac McClung hasn't been to the tournament, but he's a seasoned guy. He's a veteran. Kyler Edwards has obviously been to the NCAA tournament before as a freshman, so he's now a little bit more seasoned. He knows what to deal with. So Terrence Shannon also making his NCAA tournament appearance too, but he has been in the postseason. For you, how have you seen them kind of get other guards off kilter before we kind of go into some predictions or just some things to look for in this game tomorrow?
I think the way that they've slowed down guards is they are, how can I put this? Utah State really tries to focus on staying in front of their man, and they are able to gamble a little bit, try to get deflections of their own because Cade is back there. Cade being back there as kind of like the last line of defense really gives the guards the ability to be more aggressive, to deny, to, you know, maybe jump a passing lane or maybe switch a screen roll or you know, something that Utah State likes to do. And I don't think this is a secret, because when you go to games, you hear them call it on the floor, but they ice pick and rolls a lot, which basically means kind of funneling the ball to the baseline. And you know, so they have actions to limit guards. But I will say this, I think that they struggle sometimes guarding good shooters. So, you know, there have been guards that have really given them problems this season. But generally speaking, you know, I talked about Marco Anthony's defense earlier. He's probably going to be the guy who's going to be on their best guard. And, you know, that's going to be a key matchup. Brock Miller, he's kind of laboring a little bit with a back injury, but he is somebody who has improved defensively, and he's on the perimeter. So he's going to be tasked with staying in front of guards. I think Alfonso Anderson, who has some size, he comes off the bench, but he has some size. I think he's going to have to be somebody who is going to have to help. He's going to have to switch. This is probably a little too basketball nerdy, but I'm going to be interested in how often Utah State switches screens on Texas Tech, and how they sort of navigate that, because if maybe there's some size similarities there, maybe all they do is just switch everything. Maybe that's their best defense. I don't know. Craig Smith obviously would never say anything to that effect, but you know, they're pretty good with guard defense. And I think, like I said before, that has to do with Nemeas being back there. And they do have a couple guards who are pretty good defensively. They also have in Raleigh Worcester, who is a true freshman, but he's their starting point guard. He is, you know, only about 6'3", but he does have some sort of girth to him. And he was a quarterback in high school. He really plays with a lot of aggression, both on offense and defense. So, you know, I think he's going to be a guy who they're going to need defensively in that case.
Once again, that's Alex Vahar, covers Real Salt Lake, preps reporter for the Salt Lake City or Salt Lake Tribune, pardon me, and also Utah State, who Texas Tech will be playing at 12:45 Friday. if you need to look at this game, and I know we've talked about it a couple times, because I'm not a big guy on predictions. I like telling people this is what you should look for, and you'll know if your team's going to be in a good spot. So essentially, Alex, if you're watching Utah State and you see them do this, they're in a good position to win. And Utah State, you're watching them, they're doing this, they're probably going to lose.
If Utah State gets Nemias Cato going, and when I say that, I mean either scoring in the paint, making a mid-range jumper or two, or getting assists. He has the second most assists on the team. If Nemias Cato is doing that, and Brock Miller is, you know, making a timely three-pointer, and they're taking care of the ball, and they are, and in terms of the rebounding battle, they are either leading or they're right there, I think Utah State has a really good chance to win. If Utah State is turning the ball over too much, if they're rushing shots because they're not open and they haven't had a shot for a while, if Nemias Cato gets in foul trouble, if anybody really gets in foul trouble, you know, one thing I'm also going to watch is points in the paint. If Utah State is getting beat in the points in the paint battle, you know, those are all signs that Utah State's probably not going to win that game.
Just to play off that, Texas Tech, I believe if Kyler Edwards is in double figures, I think that's going to be good for them because they already know what they're going to get out of Mac McClung. He is a streaky shooter, as some people have said, but you know you're going to get at least 16 out of him, especially in this type of situation where he loves and he thrives in these big game situations. I think Kyler Edwards is going to be the X factor for Texas Tech, along with Kevin McCullough. He's a guy that a lot of people don't talk about, but his defense, kind of like you were talking with Anthony, he's usually tasked with getting a guy to slow down or get a guy off kilter. And I think if they're able to win the rebounding battle, that's going to help Texas Tech a little bit. But I think the more important one is, can they get to the free throw line twice as much as Utah State, which is one thing that Chris Beard likes to do. And more importantly, can they make those shots? Because that's one thing they haven't done in the last couple games, is get to the free throw line and make those free throw shots. Chris Beard talked about that during his press conference when 12 of 20 against Texas, as Texas Tech lost to them. And that was due to the game, the go ahead and the game winning free throw being made by Texas in the Big 12 tournament. So certainly I think those are two key things. And again, appreciate the time, Alex. Once again, if you want to follow him, this is Alex Vahar. He covers Real Salt Lake and preps for the Salt Lake Tribune, along with Utah State and some of the Utah Jazz as well. You can follow him at Alex V Reporting on Twitter. And then of course you can check out that feature you mentioned about Craig Smith. And then of course his little advance as well for the game, previewing tomorrow's game against Utah State and Texas Tech, which is set for 12:45 Friday. And then, again, appreciate the time, Alex. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll definitely be watching the game tomorrow.
Thanks, Carlos. I appreciate it. This was delightful.
Once again, this is the Red Raider Podcast. I'm Carlos Silva for Alex Vahar of the Salt Lake Tribune. You've been listening to another production from the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, following the Texas Tech Red Raiders in their journey in the NCAA tournament. We'll talk to you soon.